Yes, g'day everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Free Kick, the official AFLW Fantasy Podcast. You're joining us post round 9 in advance of round 10, and it is, much like we have for the last few weeks, a somewhat reduced crew. I've got Will and I've got Jono. I'm going to leave the smug to last. So, Will, how are you going at the moment?
I like that I'm not the smug, so I'll take that as a big win. I'm going pretty good. Had a great weekend at the footy. Finally got to a game for the first time in quite a while. Celebrating Pride Round down in Geelong with a good win for Geelong. And they also managed to show up in the last quarter, which is a big thing for them. So that was great.
Do you think it would have spelt the end for Geelong's final chances, even if they'd won but not managed to have shown up in the last quarter against GWS?
Yeah, I don't think it would have boded well. So I think, yeah, showing up in the last quarter, something that I think is a great tactic. Maybe the Geelong have figured that out too.
Well, speaking of showing up in the last quarter, Hawthorn definitely didn't against the Suns. Jono, how was your weekend? Did you manage to actually enjoy at least three quarters of good football?
Yeah, look, we didn't need to show up in that last quarter, you know. We were players down, injured on the bench. We were just cruising it in, really, because it was a great first three quarters. We finally scored more than 50 points this year, which is just brilliant to know.
It's remarkable that it's taken you till now, round 9.
Yeah, we are second on the ladder, and we have only just broken 50 points. It's a bit crazy. But, yeah, no, it's good. Honestly, I can't believe we're second, and... fingers crossed at last to the end of the home and away season at the very least.
Well, fingers crossed, we're not going to talk about the Bombers. They were miserable. I'm glad I was not paying much attention to that game for most of it. But sadly, I can't even say that fantasy didn't have a bit of misery. I think the hottest topic of this week was Piper Window 7, injured midway through the first quarter by a pretty horrendously powerful Cathy Spark, chin to the eye socket, bleeding everywhere, and then concussed. I was afflicted by this 7. Will, I know you were as well. And Jono, somehow, some way, you've avoided it. And I'm truly just devastated for you that you're not you're not a common man. You've not had to live through the trials and tribulations that is a devastating injury on the field. How does it feel to be someone that is above all of us?
Look, I think it's important that someone on this podcast represents the common man, and I'm glad that it's you. I just get to represent the smug people out there who are doing okay at the moment. So it's pretty nice up here. It is pretty clear.
Well, why don't we start off then? We'll launch straight into you. We'll go with highest rank of the week all the way up there. How did you go? What was the score? Give us your good calls, bad calls.
Yeah, so I had a 1,589, which has bumped me up a little bit again. So up to 20th overall right now. And I think that came down to some good trades. I did trade out Neve McLaughlin, so they weren't great trades, but... on the plus side, I brought in a player who scored slightly higher in Matty Gay, so I think overall a plus. I did hold plus Taylor three. Smith 1 week too long, I think. No, I knew it was a one-week play, and 37, which I have to say, halfway through that second quarter, was already on 30 points, was smashing it. I think she was on 36 at halftime, and I was going, you know, we could be in for another 60 here. I've lucked out yet again. But yeah, didn't quite hold on that long. I think my blind side this weekend, though, I'm going to, you know, for Mel's sake, not being here, Freo getting over the top of Melbourne. You know, Freo haven't shown that quality footy this year, and they came out and kicked, what, 4 goals in the first quarter? They looked really, really good.
It was a complete blind side that they were, A, kicking goals, and B, incredibly accurate in that first quarter. That was remarkable. And yes, I was blindsided by that as well. I can't imagine it would have been a popular tip this week. Yeah, look, you are flying up at the moment. Is that what, up 7 rank this week?
Up 7 ranks this week, yeah.
Yeah, geez. When was the last time you dropped rank?
Hold on, I'll need to scroll somewhere back in our
run
sheet.
Whilst you scroll, I'll go next. I had a 1,559. Sadly, don't have my weekly rank at the moment because, sadly, not. Oh, actually, it looks like the game has literally just opened. So lockout is now lifted. Hey. I had a round rank of 268, which, considering I had a 7 on field, is good. It's really good. I am now down at rank 69, down a nice 2 spots from last week. So 67 down to 69. My good call, like Jono, I won't go with... I also brought in Matty Gay, but I also brought in Emma Carney for Bree Conan. And so that's 73. Felt good. It was one of the better scores from defenders on what was an otherwise very low-scoring weekend for defenders. My bad call, and this is going back 2 weeks, is Britt Gutnecht, who's now given me 2 really underwhelming scores in the last 2 weeks, a 53 and a 55. On the back of 16 and 17 disposals, what's killing me is the lack of marks and tackles at the moment. Getting a lot of the ball, but it's almost all handball received. So I have to put that one down as a very bad call. Apologies if you followed me into the dark. She's really a key distributor for this Western Bulldogs team. Just doesn't apparently convert to fantasy points at the moment. And my blind side, and I wasn't here to last week to give a full-throated monologue on this one, goes to Reece Shaw. Niamh McLaughlin is somehow a defender again. What was he doing putting Niamh McLaughlin in the forward line against Brisbane? Get asked about it in the press conference, not mention it, not discuss it, no word of it all week, and then Niamh McLaughlin back to halfback this past week. And it then gets thrown in the midfield in the fourth quarter, and funnily enough, in a shock twist to absolutely nobody, that was the Gold Coast Suns' best quarter. And it was all on the back of Niamh. She had, I think, in 2 or 3 scoring chains, chains that ended in scores, she would have been involved multiple times in each of them. Because she is faster, she makes good decisions. Just don't put her like at half forward. She's not tall, she's not a marking target. And I can't believe that I've somehow, we've held her for a 26 and then everyone, every man, every woman and their dog traded her out. And apparently now she's back at halfback and playing the midfield role that meant that she was averaging like 75, 80 beforehand. It was truly mystifying, stupefying, and I am furious. Not just for me, but everyone else who's had to put up with this. So that's my blind side. Rant over. Will, you're up next. Give us, what's your shipping report this week?
I'm not sure I can follow that. My score this week was a 14.49, so not fantastic, weekly rank of 17.07. So I'm still sitting outside the top 1,000. I went backwards in rank to 1,091. I'm not sure what Mel's rank is, but hopefully I have passed her in the night, though. My good call, Charlie Mullins for 550K, scoring a 74. Very happy with that decision. I mean, it's always a good time to bring in Charlie Mullins, I think. So, absolutely wonderful. Bad call. One, Piper Window. I traded Piper Window in for Laura Stone 2 weeks ago. And since Laura Stone has scored 270s and Window has been a late out and scored a 7. So, that has been wonderful. The other one was probably not trading Ali Anderson in for Jazz Garner this week, although Kiara Bowers might make that a necessity anyway. My blind side was probably the low defender scores. I was very happy with my back line. It was looking pretty well set, and not one of my defenders scored over 64 this week. So quite an interesting one there, which I'm sure will be a topic of discussion later.
It was, as I said before, a very low scoring weekend for defenders. And you have alluded to it, Mel not being here. I'll do her little wrap-up. Bowers down to me scored a 14.16. So that is now at an overall rank of 1,132. So, Will, congratulations.
Huzzah!
You have made it up above the basement. You are no longer the lowest ranked coach on the podcast. And just for those who are playing along at home, Installereen, fresh off having done no trades, got a 1471, including a Piper Window 7 on field. So it was definitely the week for it. But sadly, Will, Mel is not here. And I will say, Mel, when you listen to back to this, you don't get to change the rules just when you host. You stick to it. We are a podcast of principles here. And when we make rules, we stick to them. So, Will, you were the lowest ranked podcast host this week, which means, sadly, you are responsible for the watch and wait scoreboard this week. So, by all means, go ahead.
Sure. Surely the rule is just whatever the rule is, it's Will.
I'm assuming that's the way this is just going to go.
I said we are a podcast of principles and rules here. Will, take it away.
Oh, goodness me. Yeah. Vagprob W, Kevin G, new clubhouse leader. That is a very good effort for someone who we've been following for a fair bit of time, given they've been in our free kick league. But they have taken the lead thanks to a very good score of 1,583 this week, leading with 13,712 points. 13 points ahead of Caleb C, who had taken that top score for last week. And Rosie's Ruiners has slipped down to third spot overall, so they will be hoping to get a bit of redemption with their trades this week. In terms of the top week scores, there was a two-person tie, which I'm impressed that that's the first time that's happened, to be honest, between Roberts was robbed. Roberts was robbed. That's an absolute tongue twister. Roberts was robbed by Charles K. And the Wooden Fingers by Troy W. Both scoring a very impressive 16.59.
I don't want you to think, Will, that being able to mispronounce things and just stumble through it is in any way going to discourage us from throwing to you whilst you do this.
Look, I just was
channeling... Roberts was robbed.
I was channeling my inner Mel, because I know that Mel loves to fumble over names of things, so that one is my tribute to you, Mel. In terms of your top 100 overall rank and weekly score, a big, big score to stay in that top 100 this week, 1561, which both of you were very close to. Liam, did you make that score?
What was the score? No, I missed by 2 points.
Bugger. That is a huge increase from last week, where it was a 1440, which would have got me there this week, but alas. Total points for 100, 13,303 points. And in terms of the Free Kick League update, well done, Kevin G. You are leading the Free Kick League and everyone else. So congratulations. Hopefully you...
Andy's what to be.
Hopefully you can hold everyone else off for the rest of the season. 56 coaches in our league are also in the top 100 overall. So congratulations to all those coaches as well.
Yeah, I would love to see that number to get up to 60 by end of round 12. I think that would be very, very cool. So you haven't already joined, you are listening, make sure you join the Free Kick League. The code is in the episode description each and every week. And I'm including our on-air recordings, which go up on our podcast feed. Right, through the admin, we're through the shipping report, we're through the Will's Watch and Wait scoreboard, and now we're up to hot topics. Got three key ones this week. It's going to be a pretty chalky episode structure. We're doing end of the line, trade targets. Actually, no, we're not going to do a chalky episode structure. We've got two normal sections. And then Jono has come up with a little competition. It's fantasy related for us to do as the final one. But I'll let him introduce that later. But it's all about trying to pick overperformers for the final 3 weeks of the season. So first up, we have end of the line. Just going to go line by line, talk about the players who might need trading out of our teams. I think number one cab off the rank, the one I want to talk about the most, is Sarah Goodwin. After having seen the Adelaide-Richmond game in person in round 8, I had some questions about how much more time Sarah Goodwin was going to spend in the midfield, because her defensive pressure was pretty terrible. And actively contributed to Moncon's massive performance. scored a 64 this past week. Adelaide have North Melbourne to come this week. Jono, you are an owner. Is she gone? Is she out of your side?
I don't think she's necessarily gone, but I do
No,
think...
that's because he plays in the AFL. Is a ruck, so different player.
Okay, great. I don't think necessarily a guaranteed out, but I do think that there is a high chance I trade her out if we see the return of Chelsea Randall this week, which I am expecting us to see. I was surprised we didn't see it last week.
Yeah, I think that was always going to be the writing on the wall when Chelsea Randall returns. Like you, was surprised she didn't come back. I think it will change the forward structure, and I think it'll change probably some of the defensive priorities for that midfield group at Adelaide.
Hmm. It seems a little bit silly, but she, even with the down week, she was still my third highest scorer in defence. It's been a challenging week for the defenders.
Yes, actually, that's a good thing. I've alluded to it twice already, but the highest scoring defender was Eliza Shannon for some reason.
Which is definitely not something anyone would have picked.
No. So Eliza Shannon is owned by no one in the top 1,000. And Eliza Shannon was going into the week priced at under 500K. She went up 184K last week.
Great week. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, so she scored a 90. That's very, very much well below expectations. So in terms of the most selected defenders and what they've scored, Charlie Thomas, 55. Bree Conan, 55. Lucas Rod, 62. Wrench, 61. Watson, 73. McLaughlin, 84. We don't talk about that. Carney, 73. Boyd, 28. And then Ellinger, 76. The fact that there is only 180 in that entire group, and it's the one defender we all traded out, really speaks to how bad the scoring was. Another defender that has been very popular as a trading target in the last 2 weeks, Maeve Chaplin, only scored a 58, had a bit of a role shenanigan situation. It was extremely expensive last week. She's still expensive, but has dropped 18K. So she's now at 1.110 million. Is she worthy of a downgrade coming into a slightly difficult matchup against Sydney?
Yeah, I don't think I'd necessarily trade for anything other than the cash is sort of my attitude, where if you're struggling for cash and you need to make a trade somewhere, I still think the Chaplin is going to be amongst the top five going forward. This to me just seemed like one particular down week. I don't think this is going to happen every time.
Yeah,
their runs on the board are too good, surely.
I'm going to resist making the same joke I just did about another player name and just say, I also agree that she will be top five. It is just a case, as you said, of how much more expensive she is than almost every other defender, and the fact that there are, you know, some with good runs upcoming. Will, in terms of some other defenders that we've been hot on this year, are there any that you think might have reached the end of their time in our sides?
Yeah, it's really tough, as you said, because a lot of the ones that we thought were absolutely, you know, cast iron guarantees have faded in and out of where they were. I mean, I've still got a few of the ones we've been talking about for several weeks, like Charlie Thomas and Brianna Koenig, because I just haven't had opportunity to trade them. And it's one of those things where, like, sure, I could get in better scoring defenders, but as we've seen this week, apparently it's no guarantee that they're going to stay that way. So yeah, it's quite difficult with the back line at the moment.
Yeah. What did you think of Cambridge McCormick? That's the interesting one, because you were watching her on Maloney this week. Was it just a difficult matchup, just like it was last week with Wardlaw?
Hard to say, because it's a difficult matchup, but was playing pretty much entire lockdown and didn't take many kickouts as well, which has been something that had helped her scoring. A lot of the kickouts were going to Emily Pease, so it does worry me, Cambridge McCormack, as a defender option if people have her. I think, obviously, if you don't have her, I wouldn't be trading into her right now, but yeah, going 53 then 39, I think that could be a definite end of the liner.
Yeah.
Yeah. it helps to have Fremantle this week because they are a very good matchup for defenders.
Yeah, unless you're Maeve Chaplin, of course.
Not that you're bitter about that one at all. I think that it's certainly a case to be made that it's a player to watch, and unfortunate that she's put up such a bad score. I do think that, you know, in a slightly better side, Cambridge McCormick would be a top five defender, guarantee. I just think that it's the current game plan and the fact that Emily Peace, for God only knows reasons, is apparently the main distributor back there. I think it's going to be hard for the Giants to win whilst that is the case. But we will digress. Oh, actually, no. Do we want to talk about Charlie Thomas? Charlie Thomas, three bad scores in a row. Underwhelmed consistently. And apparently the best defender at West Coast is now Georgie Cleaver. Is she worthy of trading out, given how inexpensive she is at this point, knowing that her matchups are kind of just fine for the last few weeks of the season? Or is it worthwhile trying to find some value else? Yeah, it's currently 736K. Last three average of 57.
Yeah. I mean, this is sort of the trading you're doing at the end of the year where I don't think there's any great urgency to trade Thomas out, but also most people have pretty good teams at this point. I would suggest that Thomas, if I had her in my team, would be a pretty high priority trade out because the consistent 50s is just not getting it done. We know that, you know, the defenders this year have a much higher ceiling. I think this West Coast defense is actually pretty good across the board now, and I don't think the scoring is going to return anytime soon.
I guess the question there for you, Jono, is with as someone who owns Thomas and Conan, who's the priority trade out, as they both scored 55 this week?
That's certainly puts you in a spot there, doesn't it? I'd probably say Bree Conan still, just with the upcoming matchup. I'm not sure how much time the ball's going to spend in defence, much like against the Gold Coast. But yeah, it's a close call there.
That is a tough pickle for you, Will. I feel for you. Now, let's move along to the midfield. At this point, I think a lot of people have been targeting getting in those top five. So, two North, mids, Bowers, Gardner. And why am I now blanking on the fifth one?
Yep, good chat.
You're welcome to jump in. Ebony Marinoff.
Yeah.
Marinoff.
Did you just forget who Ebony Marinoff is?
Yes, I did. I did just forget that Ebony Marinoff existed. Go bite me. So, we've been targeting those top five. At this stage, you know, most expensive is Laura Gardner at 1.9597 million. Then it's Marinoff at 1.502. And then kind of everyone else cascading from there. Are there any of those five that you'd be considering trading out at this stage to generate some cash?
I think it'll all come down to if Bowers gets suspended is probably the main one. We've talked a bit about Kiara Bowers potentially being a suspension risk. If she does get suspended, that's an easy one in my mind.
Yeah.
So for those that didn't watch the Melbourne-Fremantle game, and if you listened to this before suspensions have come out, she did lay a pretty heavy tackle on Talia Gillard, I think in the third quarter. Gillard hit her head on the ground and kind of her head and hands immediately went up to her head, but played out the rest of the game. It will be a pretty agonising watch, I reckon, for Bowers as to whether or not she's able to play next week. If she is not going to play, then it becomes very interesting who we target and trade, because that immediately generates a lot of cash for a lot of people. So that is one that we will absolutely be watching with interest. I think the bigger question is, there is a pool of other midfielders that people have kind of been rolling through their M5. And Caleb, who is currently in second, this does not apply to you, given you've had the luxury up until now of being able to roll with six premium midfielders. So you can turn off and come back later. But for everyone else, Ella Roberts just had an 83 against Adelaide. Monconti is coming off an extremely good run of form. She's had a 108 and then a 156 the week prior. Britt Bonici rounded back into form in the last 2 weeks, 112 and 106. Are there any of those kind of secondary tier M5 candidates that you'd be saying you'd want to be cashing out at the moment? Because I think that's probably going to be where, if you haven't managed to get to that group of five for a very long time, Laura Gardner was the one with the lowest ownership and she's now the most expensive. Who of that group would you be saying needs to go or should be going to possibly generate cash?
Funnily enough, my current trade iteration is trading out Bowers to Garner, so that's great. The one that actually kind of worries me a bit at the moment is Ash Riddell. I think that Riddell's will continue to score fantastic, but I think that with the exception of that 151 last week against Sydney, there's only been a couple of 120s, 106 and 86. The scoring's not quite as massive as it was before. And I think that while I'm still very happy having Ash Riddell and I'm not actively seeking to trade her out, there's a fair bit of money there that you could potentially use if you need it.
Her tackle numbers are actually really low. And same with her marks. So I think unless she's getting the 40 touches, which to be fair happens every other week, then if she's not getting that, then she's not hitting up these big scores. So even with 37 touches this week for 111, it's just a little confusing.
Well, I think it definitely helped in that second half to have Mia King out, who has been someone who's sharked a lot of her tackles recently. Mm. And also in the last 3 weeks, she's now had a tension run on her in two of those three games. So Montana Berylson, when she was on the ground, was looking to try and run with Riddell. And then obviously it was Alex Morecambe against Essendon in round seven. I think teams are starting to realise that if you do want to have a chance against North Melbourne, you can't just say, well, if we plaster Garner, then we've kind of nullified their main threat. Because that team is so well drilled and are so frequently looking for Ash in space out of stoppage. And she's also incredibly good at just finding that spot for a kick. I think that she has become more of a defensive priority. So I'm online with your thinking, Will. I wonder if Mia King is out for a few weeks. We don't know about her injury status at this stage, but she did miss the second half against Richmond. If Mia King is out for 2 to 3 weeks, I think it would be too bold a play to trade out Ash Riddell. But if Mia King is fit and healthy, you could make the case. It's a dangerous case, and it's one that I would make if I'm really in the mood for chasing your whatever target you have for the season, be that top 10, or probably top 100, top 1,000, top 500, whatever it might be, then you could consider doing it. And then we probably want to quickly step across to the ruck line. As a non-Lucy Wales owner, it was very nice to not be stressing watching Hawthorn because Lucy Wales keeps scoring a million points. Only scored 62 this past week. She's still the most expensive ruck in the competition. Could you trade, feasibly, Lucy Wales?
I mean, I was just thrilled because my super Lauren Wackford play worked out, having scored a 64. So I've outscored the highest averaging ruck this week. Pretty happy with that.
Let's not forget that you could have also had Fleur Davis score more than Lucy Wales. Imagine that was your R1 and R2.
True, but I'm also backing Lucy. I'm also backing Lauren Watford this week against Geelong because we know how good Geelong are for ruck. So I'm pretty happy with that, the way that worked out.
Well, yes. I think you've done pretty well. She will probably come up as a trade target. This is barring any shenanigans in the ruck line, which Lauren and Pierce is.
Daisy Pierce. Just you wait. Even. Daisy because Pierce even.
Daisy Pierce. Because don't forget, Liz McGrath is now healthy. She was in emergency last week. So just watch. Pierce will find a way to make things difficult for you.
Was that a watch and wait I heard there, Liam?
No, I would never do that. I would never say that. I've never said that in my life.
Going back to Lucy Wales quickly, I do think that it's not a concern. Like, I understand it was a down week, but this happened every now and again. And the Gold Coast did run with four rucks between Darcy Davis, Jackie Depay, Lauren Bella, and Havana Harris, who all had points on the field trying to stop it. Like, you're going up against the high-energy ruck at all times. It makes it a little bit tougher.
I think that's an excellent point. I also just want to interject here and note that listening to, I can't remember which radio station it was, referred to one Gold Coast player as Jack Doopy, which I found immensely amusing whilst listening to the coverage on Saturday. So Jack Doopy, who was also a massively high-scoring forward this week. Yeah, I agree with you. It would be premature to be trading out of Wales at this stage. And I think that we've kind of now finally seen a couple of good weeks in a row from Mim Strom. Now, the question here is whether or not she's going to get suspended. Had a fairly tough kind of contest with Taylor Harris. And it is almost a shock that it is Taylor Harris on the end of someone else's kind of large, kind of tall person contest and come off a second best, because that's typically Harris kind of doling out that kind of punishment. I will be more surprised if Strom is suspended for that hit than I would be that Bowers gets any suspension from her tackle on Gillard, but it's just one to watch out for. It's almost handy now that she's actually gone up in cash this week, so you would be able to make a massive amount of cash if you did trade down to Lauren Wakefer when she's R2 because Liz McGrath's come back in. I'm not going to get any reaction. Will, you got nothing to...
I don't think they make the change. I think she was fit this week and they went, it's just playing too well.
Mm.
We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Look, to be honest, I agree with you from a football sense, but I think we've shown on this podcast that we are incapable of predicting what Pierce will do in the ruck week to week.
Sometimes the ruck shenanigans are just shenanigans enough to do nothing, just to mess with you specifically. That happens. Good. Yes. That happens.
Talking of messing with me specifically, Piper Window definitely needs to be traded. She is concussed, so she will not be playing this week. And I do hope that she's managed to avoid any other injuries, as bad as concussions are.
As someone who's had severe facial injuries themselves, Liam, I'm sure you can very much sympathise.
Yes, that was my immediate first thought when where she was grabbing on her face and where she's been hit. For listeners who don't know, I have had this almost a very similar style of injury, kind of copped the side of someone's head right to the side of my cheekbone and my eye socket, and had to get several plates put in and spend a lot of time off work. So I empathize with that pain and that injury, and I sincerely hope that she managed to avoid surgery for it, but does need a trade from our fantasy sites. We'll talk about some targets later. Jono, have you got any other kind of semi-popular candidates who might need a trade in the forward line?
Yeah, I think Taylor Harris is just so up and down. And I guess it is as a key forward. It's something that does happen. But Melbourne is now finally at the end of their easy fixture to start the year. And their next few weeks actually get a little bit tough. So, you know, assuming she's not concussed and missing this week as a result of that Mim Strom hit, we're looking at Sydney next week and then Brisbane the week after. To me, that is a big concern. This is where I would not want to be on a key forward when you've got players, you know, the quality of Brenna Tarrant and I guess Shannon Campbell probably coming up in the next two.
I would say, though, that Sydney's probably biggest weakness is their key defenders.
They have the reigning All-Australian fullback.
Yeah. And what did we see from Breanne Harrington this week, who had, a 27? Like, I get that they've had some bombs kicked on them, but at the same time, I think if Sydney get their game going, it was really, really powerful, that performance against Carlton. I was seriously impressed.
I too was impressed. That first half was pretty spectacular. I think Taylor Harris could go. Speaking of Sydney, Chloe Malloy, the role is not what we would like it to be. It was almost no midfield time this past week. It was either when playing with the wind deep in the goal square, playing into the wind, it was coming off half forward. Kicked two goals early, but only managed to scrape to a 55. she does have a good run upcoming. I'm an owner and I won't be looking to trade. Is the role change, though, enough to spook me is the question, because I'm really not liked what I've seen the last 2 weeks. And this was without Sophia Hurley playing. But unfortunately, it was former Cat Darcy Maloney back in the side after being dropped, who took a lot of that midfield time this past week, which I don't love. So, yeah, it's one that I'll be actively watching. I kind of hoped a couple of weeks ago that I traded into a forward that would stay on my side for the rest of the season. But if this continues, and if, you know, if trades were different and I wasn't having to trade out a Piper window this week, I probably would have been more actively considering trading out Chloe Malloy. Well, if we haven't got any more options there, we've talked about the ones who need to go. Let's talk about the ones that we need to bring in. We've got the trade targets now. Jono, you and I both traded in Maddie Gay this past week as a defender. She is absolutely a target. She is, in terms of averages at the moment, she's sitting extremely highly. She's currently the second highest averaging defender, having scored an 87. The question will be how much ball will be back there against Brisbane, but I still think for the next 3 weeks she will be one of the highest averaging defenders. Jade Ellinger, back in form, back in vogue after having had a run in the middle of the season with some dreadful scores. A 94 and a 76 in the last 2 weeks looks to have been freed up to play a more natural running halfback role. I think she's a great target. But the two players I think are most interesting are two Irish superstars. One is Niamh McLaughlin, who we've talked about ad nauseum. Extremely cheap at 720k. The other is one that I've owned previously in the season, traded out, and then she's proceeded to regain her role. It's Erica O'Shea, just coming off a 90. I think she's now had her most disposals in a game 2 weeks running, and is extremely important for scoring chains for North Melbourne at the moment. Are either of you considering bringing in O'Shea? Because I certainly am. And I wish I'd had enough cash to do it last week, because I absolutely would have done it. It's just that Emma Carney was that bit cheaper.
Yeah, I'm actually looking at Emma Carney, ironically, because I don't have Emma Carney. And I think she's at a great price at the moment. So, yeah, Erica O'Shea, don't mind it as an option. I think those North Melbourne defenders, regardless of who they play against, I mean, it's North Melbourne, they always do well, but they have a good ability to score. So either of O'Shea or Emma Carney, if you don't have either of those two players, I think they're good options.
I think the advantage at the moment for O'Shea and Carney, who I also think is a worthy trade target, is no Bresnahan playing, also no Ailish Sheeran playing for the rest of the home and away season. So there is just a little bit of extra space back there for those two halfback streamers. Jono, Niamh McLaughlin, though, number one trade target this week in defence.
Yeah, if it's not the North pair, I think McLaughlin's a great target. They've now lost so much cash. We saw another 50K get wiped off this week, even with the good score. And now the next couple of weeks, we see that 49 and that 24 go out. And I think we're going to see a massive jump up again in the price. So if we're happy with the run, which I think we are, then I'm pretty keen to jump straight back on. And yeah,
considering all that's happened,
she finishes the year well.
Considering all that's happened in the last month, are we confident in the role staying?
No.
I had literally, Will, you and I were on the same wavelength, because I said to Jono, is she the number one trade target this week? And then I looked down and went, hang on. We really going to trust
her? She was the number one trade out last week, and now the number one trade in this week. Just kind of says to the volatility of this situation.
Yeah, look, the game is fluid. You got to keep up. That's it.
And the absurdity of moving the role of your best ball mover and captain against a top four team in a derby. Sorry, I won't go on that rant again. I'm just... oh. She's just that cheap that I think it's worthwhile taking a stab again if that role can continue. And again, yep, in the same way that we were happy with what she did in that one quarter in the midfield in round two, That's she did a version of that against Hawthorn in the fourth quarter last round. And I would be shocked if that's not something that's bought into again, particularly given that there are fewer people to run through the midfield at the moment because Claudia Whitford's not coming back. We don't even know how long she's going to be out for at this stage, but it's not looking good. And then I think Charlie Robonham got another hit to the shoulder in this game too. I wouldn't be shocked if she's someone that does actually get a rest in the last three rounds. Moving over to midfielders to target, Jono, you lead us off on this one. Who do you think we need to be looking at trading in, particularly if you don't have that top five grouping?
Yeah, I think this one to me is pretty clear, and it's Mon Conti. Richmond have started to hit some form again, and it's really on the back of what she and McKenzie and Egan are doing now that they've got all three of them back in there and fit all at once. And geez, they're looking very, very good. They're past the North Melbourne matchup. They're past, you know, some of the more difficult ones we've had to see. And from here on, it actually gets a lot easier for them. So I think in the next three games, oh, who do they come up against? It looks like it is Collingwood, Fremantle and Gold Coast. I think that's one that Conti will, I think she'll tear all of them apart. So I'd be pretty happy as a, if you're not going to go one of the top five, I think that's the best counter to go with.
Yeah. The weird thing is she's currently more expensive than Jazz Garner.
Yep, which is why I picked Jazz Garner as my trade target. So,
and I also think that means that Jazz Garner is probably also a great trade target if you do not have her in your side at the moment. I have a feeling, again, that she's just going to keep kicking. Like, the fact that she's, what, second on the goal-kicking tally at the moment is an insane reality. I think that she's going to keep scoring goals and be a superstar. So I think that they're both great targets. I think that with the upcoming run, Gabby Newton, who's got a slightly depressed price because of a low score she had a couple of weeks ago where she was a little bit injured, only had an 83 against Hawthorn, spent some time forward. Outside of that, she's not gone bull. So her last five scores, 90, 128, 116, that 83, and then 123. Tackling is back on the menu. You know, nine or above in four out of those five games. I think that she's looked exceptional in those games too. Looking every bit the low to mid 100 scorer. And with the upcoming run, particularly if for whatever reason, I heaven forbid it's not the case, Kiara Bowers is out, GWS, Richmond and Adelaide in the final three games.
I think this is what Will was hoping for at the start of the year when you started it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I was very confident with Gabby Newton at the start of the year. Didn't pan out. And now it's looking a whole lot better. So, unfortunate, but I'd like to think that I at least had some idea at the start of the year, you know?
You absolutely were on the right idea. And it's someone that, when we did the midfield episode, was a player that I talked about as in that underpriced premium bracket who was in ripping form at the end of 2024 and should be able to do the same again. It just took until the end of 2025 for her to show that same form.
Kind of what she did last year, to be honest.
Yeah, pretty much. I just think, again, like Fremantle really looked like they struggled with injuries in their squad in the first few weeks and also in just fitting in Bowers, Stannett into a crowded team to begin with. It's really settled down now, and I think we're seeing the best version of Gabby Newton in the past month. Another player just to throw up there, I think, Will, you should be probably the person to talk about this. It is Britt Bonici. Just come off 112 past week, has Richmond and Gold Coast in her next two matchups. She just appears to have been, like, you know, she's scoring as a Riddell light at the moment.
Sorry, I'm just laughing because you were like, Will should be the person to talk about this, and then proceeded to talk about this. I'm just trying to figure out where you're going with that.
Okay, if I want to host and if I want to give an extra lead in, oh, I can. Yeah. Will, Britt Bonici, give us your spiel. Does she have a good run-up coming?
I think she's got a good run-up coming, and she's playing a bit like a Riddell Light, I think, which is really cool. But I think, realistically, the thing about Britt Bonici is she's genuinely probably the only guaranteed centre-bounce midfielder that the Pies have at the moment. Slasher's been in and out because of injury. We've seen Ramos now injured. Bree Davies out for the rest of the season. They've been throwing a few players in there just to try things out. I think that Bonici's role is absolutely solid. Tends to not really cop a tag either, so I think she's a very safe, you know, 100-ish player at the moment.
You talk about Ruby Slasher's role changing. Played forward in the last quarter against St Kilda because I can't remember who was on commentary was trying to say that, like, you know, of the, you know, 21 players on the park for Collingwood is probably the best mark. I think it's close to correct. I think that's undoubtedly Imogen Barnett. But outside of that, I think that is a fairly decent argument. I think you could also make a case for Lucy Cronin. I would not be shocked if one of the defenders for Collingwood at the moment, so one of Butler, Cronin, whomever it may be, is thrown forward next week because it was a fairly impotent effort. But Britt Bonici is someone who's not going to change, and I think even Ruby in or out or otherwise will still be able to score well. I would have a hard time suggesting that she won't be at least hitting the value that you're paying for her. Anyone else that sparks some interest? Could I tempt anyone in? Well, I would say Jamie Lambert, but she also just missed, so that might be a little too strong. Georgia Nansgorn, maybe? A little too strong. Yes. I think I could make a case for Georgia Nansgorn as well after this week. So after Brisbane, I think you could make a fair argument that she is someone who will continue to put up 100-plus scores. Moving along to the Rucks. Outside of the number one target for this week, which is Lauren Wakefer.
Woo!
Anyone else that we're looking at targeting? I'm personally waiting a little bit longer and then considering Edmonds, or at least even considering Edmonds from this week, depending on if Lauren Bella is picked, because Gold Coast, Geelong, and St Kilda as her final three matchups.
I don't mind it.
Maybe not with Strom rounding back into form, but Will, after Wakefer plays Geelong,
would it not
be the perfect trade?
Very nice.
For another Geelong, just chase the hoops, and another Geelong matchup for the Western Bulldogs in round 11. I think Alice Edmonds is a great target.
I really like this idea because I think that I'm probably realistically going to be moving on Lauren Wakefer next week, regardless. Having made the money that I need to get around about a million, and be within range of actually reaching one of those top line rucks. So that is absolutely my play, but I do not mind the idea of Alice Edmonds in the slightest.
Jono, who are you thinking is a good target outside of maybe Shoals and Wales, who I think are at the top of their mark at roundabouts, probably priced reasonably for what they'll score for the rest of the year?
Yeah, I'm not sure I do like a lot of the rucks outside of those two. I think Shoals in particular looks like she's going to be excellent for the rest of the year. If I have to pick someone, I really like the run of Brianne Harrington. It's going to be difficult to pick that off the back of a 27 this week, but I do like their next three. So I think Carlton should come back with a vengeance over the next three. They should win out the year is my reading of their form at the moment. So I'm hopeful that was just a blip on the radar and they go back to scoring the 80s that they can.
Could you just have a look at Jess Good instead?
No.
Given she also has the same run. And Brianne Harrington's not exactly spending a lot of time in the ruck, at least in the last couple of weeks.
No, but that's kind of what I like about it. I think Jess Good, I think the goals that Harrington gets, like, really adds to the score. And as much, Jess Good's probably the main ruck, but I do think it's like a 60-40 split. And then Good, you know, when they're resting, they're resting more on the bench more so than Harrington, who rests forward. So the ceiling's Jess Good a little bit higher.
Jess Good basically scores a point per percentage game time she has. So, like, listen to this for the last few games. 64%, 59. 69%, 70. 69%, 53. 57%, 58. 74%, 77. That's a pretty, like...
It's pretty even,
hilarious
yeah.
correlation. But I think I agree with you. I don't know if I necessarily love a lot of the ruck targets. I really do like Edmonds, though, and I think that could be an absolute play this upcoming fortnight. Moving along to the forwards, where we're all probably going to be looking at targeting some players. I'm going to say off the bat, on current roll, number one trade target for window owners is going to be Laura Stone. Coming off her first 70-plus score of the year, which if you listen to on air, was Jono's bold call. It took a goal with 6 seconds remaining to make it happen, but it was a 70-plus score nonetheless.
Yeah, look, a point's a point. You know, I don't care what stage of the game it happens. That's absolutely fine by me. I'd say so. For the price, I'm trying to think. It's tough for window owners because that 100K that she's lost this week really puts you on the back foot.
Yeah, because the player I'm looking at as a window owner is... I was going to say window opener then. As a window owner, is actually Imogen Barnett. Just because of that price drop thanks to the... really low score against the Bulldogs. That 35 is now about to drop out of her price cycle and means she'll start heading back upwards again. Take that 35 out and there's only one score under the 70 mark. So I think if you do have a little bit of money to play around with, not a bad option, who is a bit cheaper than they're probably worth. And is coming up against Richmond this week, which isn't too bad. I don't mind Barnett as an option. But yeah, if you don't have much money to play with, other than Laura Stone, that price point's a bit iffy.
I agree with it 100%. The one thing to watch out for with Barnett, she's been knocked around each of the last two games.
So you don't agree with it 100% then?
Okay, maybe I agree with the logic behind it 100%. I just wanted to note like a 0.1% thing. Still scored well this past week. Just watch the injury report, I will say, on Imogen Barnett. She just keeps copping a battering. Jono, who do you think is a good target this week? Maybe let's steer clear of like the super expensive ones, because I think that Woodland... absolutely, with all of the midfielders out at Port Adelaide at the moment, is a great target. She's also very popular in a lot of our sides already, for example.
Yeah, of course. One player that I'm a big fan of is Alice O'Loughlin. I think it took them a little bit at the start of the year to sort of get used to that holding the ball rule. I think they gave away 9 frees in the first two games. And then obviously suffered that lacerated liver, which kept her out for a couple of weeks, which was a bit rough. But in her first game back, she's put up a 77 against Richmond. And I think her intensity was seriously impressive. So I can see her coming straight back in, kicking goals. She was tackling quite a fair bit for a forward. I think at 719K, it's a fairly cheap price to be able to jump aboard and could be a bit unique coming into the final few rounds given pretty much no one has it.
Will, Alice O'Loughlin or Charlie Mullins at 655K coming off 74?
Charlie Mullins every day of the week.
this time I agree with you 100% for that extra cash saved.
I think extra cash saved. Matchup should be a fairly easy one against Essendon this week. Apologies, Liam. My one concern as well about Alice O'Loughlin is they are playing Adelaide this week, which, I mean, to be honest, I don't know what playing Adelaide means anymore for fantasy because...
sometimes it's great, sometimes it's terrible. Yeah. Who knows? Yeah.
So,
sometimes maybe can't... good, sometimes maybe.
So yeah, very strange. I'm going to go with the conventional logic and say that it's going to be difficult. But again, North Melbourne just seem to do whatever the hell they want every single week. And Adelaide wildly up and down. So yeah, I think that I really like Charlie Mullins. I've said that for the last 2 weeks. Nice price point. Proven scorer, guaranteed to score under 50 this week after I've pumped her up. So yeah, I think it's, realistically, it's a good one.
Those are my favorite qualities of a player.
it's a really good one if you are looking for something that's a little bit different that can still give you a point of difference and reasonably good scoring for a cheap price.
I am fully on board with it. Anyone else that we want to talk about? Jono, you had talked about potentially targeting some Richmond forwards off pod. Are you willing to spruik them now with their final three games and also a bit of regained form? Oh,
no, I really like the Richmond run, but I can only spruik one person who scores under 30 per episode. That's a rule that I have. And unfortunately, I've already used that on Breanne Harrington. So sorry, Katie Brennan, you're going to have to wait for another week.
Jeez, you're a hard taskmaster.
I
think it would be remiss. Yeah,
I'm actually going to throw one out here, which is Amelia Yassir. Priced under 400k, scored a 53 this week.
Seriously cheap, yeah.
Potentially someone you could use a bench shuffle for, if you've got Lauren Young and desperately want to make 10k. But I do think that if Amelia Yassir is too good a player to continue to average that like 20, 30 points. But again, I think that's more a luxury potential shuffle if you think you want to make a little bit of money here or there.
I really wish that Richmond Collingwood game was first one of the round, because then I could have a look at it on the bench and then, you know, adjust my trades accordingly after that. But alas, Sunday game.
It is rough. I think you could also make the case for Caitlin Greiser, playing a great role at the moment. We've just seen Jesse Wardlaw score an 80-odd against Collingwood, playing a similar role at the moment. So, yeah, let's keep our eyes on that one. Jono, you're up next with our next segment. Please do take it away.
Yeah, all right. Well, I think hopefully this is a good game. Basically, we give a lot of opinions on this podcast. And whether we're right or wrong, really, we're the only ones who really bring up our own opinions. So we're only going to bring up the ones that are good. So I think for this last final three rounds, let's play a little bit of a game of accountability. So basically, what the game is here is we're going to select four players each, one on each line, currently averaging over 50, and as much as possible, try and make it a relevant player that you might actually trade in. And over the next three rounds, we're going to track them to see how much better these players score on average in the last three games of the season compared to their current average. We're then going to combine all the results of our four players to give us a final score. So, for example, if Ebony Marinoff was to go at 140 over the last three games, and because she is currently averaging, 125, then she would get a plus 15. Right, and on the same logic, if I took Ash Woodland and she went at a 72, while she's currently averaging, 79, then she's going to get a minus 7 there. So that overall, that would give me, you know, plus 15 on one, minus 7 on the other, we'd get a plus 8 overall. That would be my overall score. So that's basically it. We're going to try and pick some players here that you're actually pretty keen on. We're going to do this as a bit of a draft. So I can see who you guys are more keen on at the start. You can pick from any line, but you have to pick at least one on every line. Will, I'm going to give you the honors of going first, then Liam, and I'll go third.
Wahoo. I'm going to start in the midfield with Jazz Garner.
Jazz Garner. Pretty hot the last three rounds.
Hot last few rounds, and is only averaging 112 at the moment. I think a very good chance to go 120 plus.
Yeah, I don't mind that at all.
I thought for sure you were going to take Lauren Wakefer then. I think I'm going to do it. I think I'm going to take Lauren Wakefer just because she's only averaging 57.
All right, it's in there. Off we go.
No, I like that one.
Take it away, Jono.
All right, brilliant. I think I'm going to go in the back line. And I'm going to go with Jade Ellinger. Big fan of their potential over the next few. Will, we're back to you.
Oh, I mean, I'm just absolutely thrilled because it's Charlie Mullins time. Charlie Mullins. Only averaging 53. There's a 70.
You saw me take
one.
Lauren Wakefer and you thought, I can't stand for all of my favourite players.
I was okay with Wakefer because I'm basically just hoping to get rid of Wakefer after 1 week and then she can score less than 20 every week after that when Liz McGrath returns. But next week she needs to score really well. Liam, it's up to you.
I'm going to take Gabby Newton.
That's a good one.
Go on the mids.
That's a good one.
Yeah. No, I do rate that.
Joe Nathan.
Whew. Okay. Yeah, I've been struggling with the forward line a lot. And the pick that I really want to pick is just, why would you pick a forward from this team? But I think I'm going to go with Jackie Depay. I have a good feeling about them. I think they've got good matchups for both rucks, and I think they'll be able to be okay in the next three games if they can pull out what they did in that last game against the Hawks in that last quarter. If they can pull that out for a little bit longer, I'm pretty keen. So Jackie Depay.
Nice. I'm going to go for a very left field option here. Surprise, surprise. I'm going to go for Katie Tipping in the ruck. Because,
ooh, okay,
Piper Dunlop, okay, came off injured and has started to, you know, tire as the season's gone on, which is what we expect from a, you know, first year player. So I reckon there's a pretty good chance that Katie Tipping can average more than 19 over the last three rounds.
Johnno, I would very much agree with that, but my rule that I said at the start was that they have to average over 50.
I think they will average over 50.
So if they don't average over 50, you're comfortable. I can set the average at 50 right now, and then you can see if they go above that.
No, it's okay. I just wanted to throw that one out there. But I do actually have a genuine one for the ruck, which is Ellis Edmonds. I really like what you've said. I really like what you've said, Liam, and my aim is to go Wakefer into Edmonds next week, barring any more catastrophic injuries.
Right, so I am up next. Going to take Erica O'Shea as my defender.
Ricky O'Shea.
I don't know how comfortable I feel with this one, but I might be searching a little bit too deep in the midfield pool, so maybe I'll pull back a little bit on this one. But let's just go one player up in the same midfield. I'm going to go Ellie McKenzie. I really like what Richmond's been doing. I think they're going to keep it going over the last three rounds, and former number one pick. Pretty big fan.
Very nice. I'm actually just going to go head-to-head with Liam for my final one, which is Emma Carney. Big fan of what Emma Carney's able to do back there. I think there's a big chance that she finishes the year with a flourish. So I'm going to go Emma Carney in that back line.
I'll go Alice O'Loughlin with her average of 59.
Yeah, no, I like it. Which leaves me with the last pick. And I'm going to put an asterisk on mine. Because there are very, very, very few rucks here. And I want to go and say it's Mim Strom. If she gets suspended, I would like the right to change mine to Schultz.
I think suspension doesn't necessarily matter because it's all about how they average, right? You've just got to
if they don't play, then I'm giving someone a zero. That's the rule here. They get injured mid game
Then that's the risk you're making, Jono. That's the risk you're taking.
Oh, but if we played this game one day later, it would be no different, and I would know the answer.
The other thing about it, Jono, is you could have picked a ruck earlier, but you deliberately decided not to in the draft. So you have run that risk yourself.
This is true.
And I think Will and I took the rucks with the two best runs for the final 3 weeks.
For obvious reasons, because we were like, there's not that many ruck options. Let's
rucks
hit
to pick
those
from,
early.
No, you thought about it very tactically. I just think over the next three, we're going to see the Mim Strom that ended last season. I've got a good feeling about that, so I'm excited to see what they can deliver.
Okay, if Mim Strom is out, I think it's fair to say that she can't, then you don't have to take it, but you have to lock in who you're picking now.
Yeah, I'll lock in Matilda Schultz gladly. I also think they're going to be great over the next three.
Okay. Well, that was a fun little game. We will keep the people updated on how it progresses. We are now up to the stage where we're going to talk some captains. I think I had a bit of a down week this past week. I didn't have Gardner or Bowers in my top five, both of whom looked like they had tougher matchups. And I went with Lucy Wales, who scored a 61 after a ripping run of form. I'll say this, though, before we knew that Lauren Bella was playing, so I think that should come with a fair asterisk. Ella Roberts was apparently playing the role of running around with Ebony Marinoff for some reason against Adelaide, which didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. So that was certainly frustrating for what went down last week. In terms of who I'm targeting this week, I think it's hard to look past the form of Laura Gardner. Last three average 139. Off a 140, going up against Melbourne, who just allowed two scores over 120 to Bowers and Newton. I think that could be huge. Same goes for Bowers.
Good VC option as well there.
Same goes for Kiara Bowers up against GWS. I feel like that could be an if they play. And then I think it's Marinoff, Garner, Riddell as my top five. With Monconti tough to miss against Collingwood, given her run of form. That brings us to our trade plans for the week. Jono, where are you currently looking?
Yeah, so I'm going to be spending all week trying to figure out how to get Courtney Hodder into my team. But for the moment, I can't figure out how to do it. So in the meantime, I've currently got Sarah Goodwin to Niamh McLaughlin. And then I've got Taylor Smith up to Imogen Barnett. And then the third trade, I've just grabbed some cash for next week so I can yet again try and figure out how to get Courtney Hodder into my team. That's currently the plans.
Fair enough. You're on Hodder watch. Will, where are you looking at the moment?
It's Piper Window Be Gone, for starters. I've kind of...
You are going to defenestrate.
Yes. Currently, I am actually banking on Kiara Bowers being suspended to actually generate some money and go Bowers to Garner, Conan to Emma Carney, and then use the extra money to get Window to Imogen Barnett, which saves me 138k for next week to potentially upgrade Charlie Thomas or Ellie Anderson or Lauren Wakefer, if Lauren Wakefer manages to score massive and gets me in the range of Matilda Scholes. So we'll see what happens.
We shall indeed. I am currently looking at Gutnecht down to Niamh McLaughlin, Piper Window to Laura Stone, and then I'll downgrade Lauren Young to, let's give Paige Scott a try. You know, good matchups upcoming, lots of frees to give away, but, they're capable of a pop score. We've seen that already this year. I'm hoping one might come in the next few weeks, just so that I can generate enough cash. So, all doing very different trades this week. It'll be fascinating to see where we all end up. That does bring us to the end of today's podcast for another week. As always, you can find all of our content on all of the socials, Free Kick W Pod, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram. Make sure you are following wherever you are listening to this podcast. And as I said, make sure you are joining our league. It is not too late to do so. We'd love to get up above that 60 mark. And finally, on Wednesday morning, usually about 11, 11:30, you do get to see the fantasy fix from Jono and myself over on the AFLW website with all of our top buy-sell options, some updates on our captaincy rankings, and also the top rookies to target for the coming week. So that is it for the post-mortem on round 9, the preview for round 10. I hope you've all enjoyed, and hopefully, fingers crossed, no more sevens on field.
Woo,
for another week.
Great.
See ya.
See everyone.
Bye.